Then I looked and I heard the voice of many angels around the throne, the living creatures and the elders, and the number of them was 10,000 times 10,000, and thousands, ha, and thousands, saying with a loud, mega, great, grand voice, "Worthy is the Lamb who was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing." And every creature which was in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and such as in the sea and all that are in them, I heard saying, "Blessing and honor and glory and power be to him who sits on the throne and to the Lamb." They said, "Blessing and honor and glory and power be to him who sits on the throne and to the Lamb forever and ever." They said, "Blessing and honor, glory and power be to him who sits on the throne forever and forever and forever and forever and forever." It's a forever word, church. It's a forever word of blessing and honor and glory and power be to my God forever and forever and forever and forever and forever and forever.
A people belonging to God, that you may declare the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his wonderful light. Again, but you, everyone say me.
Me.
You are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people belonging to God. I want to set you up for what we're going to talk about in a little minute or two, but I wanted to intervene now, which is really unusual. Something's happening. Something's happening around the world. And while we were worshiping, I just had this anxiety rise in me, and it wasn't a bad anxiety. It was like a fear. And it was a fear, a godly fear, that you would miss it. That you would miss the opportunity and the open door that's in front of you. I said to a few of our ministry team, I said, pray for the church right now. Pray for this church, because I felt that there was an opportunity and I felt that there was a moment. And the Father said to me, some people are going to step out of the moment and some people are going to step into the moment. And it broke my heart. It broke my heart to think that some of you would step out of the opportunity that God is putting in front of you right here, right now. I was crying because I didn't want any of my family to miss the opportunity of being a chosen one, of being a royal priest. And as father of this bunch of people, I'm aching right now. I'm aching for those who aren't even in the room, but I'm aching more for anyone who's in this room, part of this family, who stepped out during that worship. I mean, spiritually, you made a choice. And because we haven't finished yet and I'm not preaching yet, I wanted to step in and give you our endorsement, our encouragement. The Apostle Paul says, "I implore you on Christ's behalf." And it's talking about reconciliation, but right now, I implore you on Christ's behalf. Do not disengage. Do not step away. There is something of an anointing in the room tonight There's been loads of pictures about what God is doing, what angels are doing, what the Holy Spirit is doing, what you are doing, and there's an opportunity right now. And some people get bored when the same chorus happens again and again, but I want to give you a fatherly slap in the face if you got bored during that worship, because there is nothing other than Him reaching out His hand to you, an opportunity for you to step into glory to glory, to step into deeper things, to step into higher things, to step into intimate things. There is an opportunity, there is an invitation tonight. There's an invitation for you. If you are in the room, I felt God say that there was a second chance to step on, to step in. And I just felt, I'm literally broken inside by the concept of anyone stepping out of this invitation. And I want to implore you, I can't force you, I can't tell you what to do, but I want to give you the opportunity right now, right here, to step into the invitation that the Lord God Almighty is giving you right now. I don't know what that looks like for you, I don't care what that looks like for you, but if it's you, I'm asking you, I'm just begging you right now to do something that shows Holy Spirit that you're in, that shows Holy Spirit that you want it. It's an invitation. It's an invitation. I'm begging you to do something right now. It doesn't have to be seen. It doesn't have to be energetic. It might be. It doesn't have to involve your body, but it might do. I'm asking you, as a father, respond to Him right now. You are a holy nation, a royal priesthood, a people belonging to God. If you don't know Jesus in the room, if you've never given your life to Jesus right now, normally we would be really subtle and we would be really gentle, but this is not a subtle or a gentle moment. If you don't know Jesus, I want you to come to the front. If you've never said yes to Jesus, I want you to come to the front, and I want you just to come and kneel by the front here. Some of the leadership team are here, but if you don't know Jesus, this is an opportunity. And God said you had a second chance. God said you had a moment in history, a moment in your life, and a moment for you to step in. And also, I wanted to say, if you stepped out, if you were someone who stepped out, you got bored, you got disengaged, you got distracted, even during this worship, I want you to come to the front. If that's you, if you want to respond and say, I'm in. Or if you've been, we would say backslidden, if you stepped away from God in the past, if you've just gone away, you've done your own thing, you've made your own choices, I am begging you and imploring you right now, whether if you don't know Jesus, or you've got bored, or you've stepped away from Him in life, I'm asking you to come to the front and just kneel down in front of the stage, because this is an opportunity for you, this is a moment for you. And I'm going to ask you to tell the person next to you, make sure that they don't need to be at the front right now. Ask them, I'm serious, ask the person next to you, behind you or in front of you, do you need to go down the front? Because if you do, I'm really happy to walk you down there. I'm really happy to go with you. There's no condemnation. That's not the point. This is an invitation. It doesn't matter what you did up until every moment in your life. Doesn't matter. This moment matters. It doesn't matter what happened in the past. It doesn't matter about every moment of your life up until this one. This is the moment that counts. If you're with someone who should be at the front, then just walk them gently. Just be their friend right now. Just walk them to the front and just say, I'm coming with you. I'm coming with you. I'm coming with you. That's what family does. Just come right to the front. If that's you, come right to the front. There should be no one between you and the stage. If that's you, if you're responding, there should be no one between you and the stage. And if you were fully engaged during that whole time, I just want you to connect back to God. Don't get distracted. When I walked into this room at about 4 o'clock this afternoon, I just felt there was a spirit of distraction in the room and I banished it. So there is no excuse for being distracted. Don't get distracted right now. I am never this direct. But God has laid it on my heart. I don't cry that often, and God has laid it on my heart that there is something to respond to right now. And we're all going to say this together, because there is no condemnation or shame for anyone who hasn't known Jesus fully up until this point. We are all on a journey. Is anyone else on a journey? There is no condemnation, there is no shame, there is absolutely nothing to feel bad about. And so we are all going to say this prayer together, please, if you would join me. Heavenly Father, wow, you're amazing. I'm going to ask everyone who's come to the front to say this prayer. Everyone who's come to the front to say this prayer. Heavenly Father, and everyone else, come on. Every Heavenly Father. Wow, you're amazing. And I want to say thank you. You know me and you love me. You love me despite me. You know my history. You know my choices. And you love me anyway. Wow, you're amazing. And I turn away from everything of the past that was not you, God. And I turn to you, Jesus. I turn to you, Jesus. Because you're amazing. I choose you, Jesus. Above the world, above the past, above fear, above sin, above everything, I choose you, Jesus, the one who died on the cross for me and rose again with me. Jesus. Wow, you're amazing. Why don't you say this? Holy Spirit, would you fill me? Holy Spirit, would you fill me? Would you direct me? I choose you, Holy Spirit. The reason that I believe that worship's gone longer than we would normally go is because I believe God was waiting for people to make choices. And then how much grace does this God have that even though some of us didn't choose Him in the moment, He gave us a second chance to choose Him? How much grace does our God have? Wow. If you're new to Catch the Fire, I want to tell you that it's not always like this. Because it's not always like anything. And we are going to step straight into having communion together. Because when we choose Jesus, celebrating that with the body and the blood of Jesus is a very, very right thing to do.
For it pleased the Father that in him all the fullness should dwell, and by him to reconcile all things to himself, by him, whether things on earth or things in heaven, having made peace through the blood of his cross. And you, who once were alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now he has reconciled in the body of his flesh through death, to present you holy and blameless and above reproach in his sight, if indeed you continue in the faith, grounded and steadfast, and are not moved away from the hope of the gospel which you have heard. Tonight, I had prepared to talk about something else, but Holy Spirit was just saying, reconciliation, reconciliation, reconciliation. The cross is the greatest love story.
So we were getting ministry on our organization this week. And I believe I heard the Holy Spirit. No, it was the Father's voice, not audibly, but inside. And what I heard was the Holy Spirit is looking for somewhere he can feel safe and feel welcome. And immediately I start analysing it. I'm like, how can the Holy Spirit feel unsafe? That doesn't make any sense. He's God. He could demolish us all in a look. You know, I'm kind of analysing it. But it's not about the fact that the Holy Spirit would be unsafe. It's about the Holy Spirit feeling welcomed and safe in a room, in a person, in a group of people. And I felt really strongly, that's twice in one week, the same feeling I had during worship, which was an aching, almost bordering on fear that we would miss the point of what God was doing in the room. I felt the same feeling earlier this week, and I was feeling, God, whatever it takes, whatever we have to get rid of, whatever we have to say, whatever we have to do, whatever we need to be as a community of people, Holy Spirit, please find us safe and welcoming for you. My God, please don't pass us by. Don't get me wrong, I'm not talking about his individual presence, I'm not talking about his love, it's unconditional and all that kind of stuff. I'm putting this 10 minutes of talk in the context of everything else that you've heard us say, all of our values and all of our Evangelical Alliance doctrine. Don't go weird at me. What I'm saying is, God, I want to be chosen. I want to be seen as safe. I want to be seen as welcoming to everyone, but more importantly, to the person of the Holy Spirit. We have people in our family. We have many guest speakers. We have Chloe and Sarah and others who know what it looks like to be intimate with the Holy Spirit. But as a church, I don't want us to just have a big high on a Sunday morning and a Sunday evening. As a church, I'm not that interested in the programs and the methods and the procedures. I'm interested in him, and I want him, and I want us to want him. Whatever it takes. Whatever it takes. I'm not saying the procedures and the methods are bad or wrong. I'm saying he's more important. I'm saying, God, would you tell us and teach us, instruct us and equip us? Would you heal us and would you clean us so that we would be seen by Holy Spirit as safe and welcoming? When he comes, we're not looking to see what man thinks. We're looking to see the smile on our Father's face. that when he makes himself visible, when he makes himself tangible, when he makes himself audible, that we aren't writing a book about it or doing a series about it or having to tell the world about it, but the change that happens in our lives, in our hearts and in our families and in our relationships tells the world he came. He came. Don't get me wrong, I'm on Facebook a lot. That's not the point. The point is that he comes first. The point is that nothing else matters. The point is that he's the number one priority. I want more of the Holy Spirit. And I want him to want to be here more. I know he's omnipresent. I know that he comes where two or three are gathered. I get the theology. I'm just wanting his smile. I'm not saying he's not here. I'm saying I want him to want to be here. I want him to feel comfortable when he's here. I want him to feel welcome when he's here. I want him to know that there are people that are focusing on him, tending to him, loving him, focusing right directly on who he is, what he's doing, why he's doing it, and following him. I'm not wanting to be a people that says, God, would you come and bless this meeting? I want to be here saying, God, you want to be in this meeting, and we want to be with you. And because of that mutual desire, God, what a party. I'm so desperate to be seen by him as a place he likes to be. It starts with me and you dealing with stuff so that we can sit there, stand there, jump there, dance there, worship there, praise there, whatever it is, and be seen by him as a safe place. The Holy Spirit's like a dove. A dove doesn't stay where he feels it's dangerous. The Holy Spirit wants to know whether your desire is towards him. Joyce had a picture of this, that we are priests, we are priests, we are priests. And, you know, we have a load of different identities. I was saying to the guys beforehand, and I've said to some of my boys in a huddle group, that I really believe God is releasing the identity of kingship amongst Catch the Fire, that royal identity. And we need to stand up and we need to take authority and we need to, not in a belligerent dictator type way, but in a I know who I am because I know whose I am type way. And therefore exerting the kingdom of God in every influence and every sphere that we come across. But tonight, the priests were arising. The priests that see him and him alone, the ones that look. Don't get me wrong, I want to see the lost saved. We've got JJ was going to give testimony about what happened in Berlin and all the amazing miracles and all the rest of it. I love that, but he comes first. The reason they see so many miracles in Berlin is because they put him first. Seek first the kingdom and righteousness, and then all the other stuff will be given to you. Holy Spirit, I want you to choose this place. Why don't you just lift your affection to him right now? I had a whole preach and loads of verses and points and stuff. I'm so hungry. I'm so hungry for more of him. I'm so hungry for him to want more of me. In this place, in this community, whether or not it's on a Sunday evening, a Sunday morning, a Monday, it doesn't matter where it is, it doesn't matter when it is, it matters who it is. And I'm really happy for God to pick every other church in London and create revival. I just want to be near enough to get there. All right, that was the very noble thing to say. God, pick every other church, but God, pick this church. God, I want you to see us. Father, I want you to see us. I want you to know that we're hungry for you. I want you to know that we're in love with you. I want you to know that we are preparing ourselves for you.
so desperate for you, God. He feels safe when he knows he's valued. He feels safe when he knows he's prioritized. He feels safe when he knows that he's the number one in our hearts, when he's the number one in our minds, when he's the number one in our bodies, when he's the number one in our souls, when he's the number one in our decisions, when he's the number one in our priorities. Whether that's in your workplace, in your home place, or in your church place is irrelevant. The idea is to get into him. Chloe preached an amazing message about 2.5 years ago, godly gossip. But the Holy Spirit, while Peter was talking to a bunch of Gentiles, it says, while he was still talking, the Holy Spirit landed. The Holy Spirit didn't even wait for him to say amen at the end of his preach. The Holy Spirit didn't wait for him to stop talking because Peter was gossiping about Jesus, because Peter was fixating on Jesus, because Peter was there and available and prioritized stuff. The Holy Spirit was like, he's attracted to godly gossip. He's attracted to people that talk about him, that are obsessed with him. You know, I've said it before, but that whole demonic statement that you're so heavenly minded that you're of no earthly use. What a bunch of garbage. Now don't get me wrong, if you're weird, then stop being weird. But that's not about heavenly minded. If you were totally heavenly minded, you wouldn't be weird. You would be different, but you wouldn't be weird. You would be attractive. People would want to come and be with you. And that's what I want for the Holy Spirit. I don't know. I'm just on this. I'm not getting off it because it's nearly time to finish. I want to be seen by heaven. I don't need to be seen by man. I really don't care about that. We were in Kenya a couple of years ago and we're like, God, is this the trip where we're going to see a dead person raised to life? And he spoke back to us. We were just praying this as a couple. And he spoke back to Chloe and he said, if you did, would you be able to not tell anyone? I don't need to be seen by man. I'm not interested in what man thinks of us. Now, on one level, I'd like to be liked. I'm a people person, you know? I'm a high-level influencer. I just like connections, you know? I like people. It's all about, you know. But when it comes to knowing him and being known by him, what they think, who cares? Apparently, some people think we're a bit weird. Now, don't get me wrong. Weird for weird's sake is just stupid. But weird because we're different. Weird because we're God-focused. Weird because we worship for way too long. Weird because we repeat those verses that God is on. Oh, yeah, we're that weird. And we're really happy to be that weird. We're really happy to be seen by God as people who will follow him, listen to him, follow him, listen to him, follow him. He feels safe with obedient people. Jesus said, those who love me will obey me. Having a conversation with people in the morning service, and they were about conviction, conviction, conviction. And I said, a conviction comes under obedience. We say it often when we're asking people about, you know, to input into a meeting, and we say it, and people, when they first hear it, they look at us as if to say we're a bit rude, but it was like, we don't care what you think. What's God saying? Sorry about that. We're happy to hear what you think, but not now. We'll save that for the pastoral team. We want to know what God's saying. Because when there's a group of people who are listening and obeying and listening and obeying and listening and obeying, God is attracted to that group of people. I don't need the world to know revival happens in this room, but I want revival to happen in this room. I want the lost to be drawn into this room because they're like, what is going on with those bunch of people? They're all smiling and they're all happy. And they all keep doing miracles. There's something going on in that room. I want to be seen as a safe place by Holy Spirit. Hmm. John 3 says, now there was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a member of the Jewish ruling council. He came to Jesus at night and said, Rabbi, we know you are a teacher who has come from God, for no one could perform the miraculous signs you are doing if God were not with him. People should see God here. They should see God in you. They should be attracted to you and attracted to the God in you. They should be attracted to your workplace. They should be attracted to your home. They should be attracted to this church. They should be attracted to everywhere we go, because no one could do that if God was not with them. No one could be like that. No one could have that peace in the midst of a storm. No one could perform those miracles. No one could raise the dead. No one could prophesy things. We were in a cafe, restaurant-y thing in North Carolina on Friday afternoon. Friday end of morning. And we were driving with Steve and Sandra Long, and we just stopped. We were driving from the beach to the airport. And we stopped, and it's on Steve Long's Facebook if you want to go and see it, the result of what happened. But basically what happened was this woman turned up, and she was our waitress, and she had a song, so she started to sing Amazing Grace. So we got all excited because we like Amazing Grace, because grace is amazing. And so We blessed her for her song, and then Chloe had a prophetic word for her. And she basically prophesied that this woman has got... she said, I see you with a group of young people around you, young girls around you, and I see that... restoring the past. And then she said, she used the words of bringing the beauty that's inside of these young girls out again. And the woman just burst into tears. And she said, after Chloe had finished... that she used to be in drugs, and then she came out of drugs, and now she has, on a Friday evening, loads of young girls coming to her house to be ministered to her. And her, she said she wants to call her ministry Inside Out. For no one could perform the miraculous signs you are doing if God were not with him. Going to verse 5, Jesus answered, I tell you the truth, no one can enter the kingdom of God unless he is born of water and the Spirit. Flesh gives birth to flesh, but Spirit gives birth to Spirit. Which one do you want?
I want the Spirit.
Me and Chloe. I'm serious. Which one do you want? We are a community. If you're new to us, this is random, okay? But whatever. We are a community who is desiring to be of the Spirit in everything we do, say, and think. Now, we don't always get it right. Sometimes we're of the flesh. But we want to be of the Spirit. We're aiming to be of the Spirit. I was praying with Josh Dennis. Are you here? Are you there? Before the service. He didn't realize we were praying, but we were. And he said... there's going to be a challenge tonight that some people need to put to death some stuff so that they can live from the Spirit. So Heavenly Father, right now, we choose to deliver to you everything that's of the flesh. Just do it for yourself. I can't do it for you. This is not a controlling mechanism. This is an invitation. Holy Spirit, we just release to the cross every decision, every word, every thought, every action, every plan, every purpose that we have in our hearts that's of the flesh. We deliver it right now. We deliver it to the cross, because at the cross we died. Galatians 2:20, we died at the cross. I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. So we just remove all that stuff. I haven't got time for more ministry, but just kill everything that's not of him, okay? Flesh gives birth to flesh, but Spirit gives birth to Spirit. You should not be surprised at my saying you must be born again. Listen to this. The wind blows wherever it pleases. You hear its sound, but you cannot tell where it comes from or where it's going. So it is with everyone born of the Spirit. And I had this whole preach, but I'm going to give it to you in a sentence. The Father said to me when I was preparing this, when I was stimulated by Murray Smith preaching an amazing word, go to wherever you need to go to, Catch the Fire Raleigh website and see the preach from last week. He was preaching from this verse, and Holy Spirit was talking to me, and he's basically saying, like the Spirit is the wind, yeah? We all know that, yeah? The Spirit is the wind. And the wind goes wherever it... No one knows where it's going. No one knows where it's come from. And so is everyone who is born of the Spirit. And the Holy Spirit said to me, basically what Jesus is saying there is that like Spirit, like me. When I live with the Holy Spirit inside of me, I can be like the Holy Spirit. Fire. Wind. Oil. Water. Power. So is he that is born of the Spirit. It's talking about wind in that verse. In John 3, verse 8, it's talking about wind. It's talking about saying, the wind is like this, and so is he that is born of the Spirit. And the Holy Spirit said to me, the wind is a spirit. Everyone that is born of the Spirit can be like the Spirit. Fire. Power. Wind. Oil. There's a whole bunch of other similes. But, oh my word, I got hungry. And there's two things that I just want to finish with that was going to be preached and had some stuff on it. I want more of him. And I want to be seen as a safe place by him. I want to be more like him. And I want him to like me more. I want to be more like him. And I want him to like me more. I just felt, even during the worship, I think the whole night's just been one big preach. Yeah. Even during the worship, I was just feeling that tonight there was going to be a guttural response to a yearning that's starting to develop within those who are stepping in to who he is. Those who are saying yes. Those who are saying whatever it costs. Those who are saying, I don't care if I have to give some stuff up. I don't care if you take some stuff away from me, God. I want you. I must have you. I don't care if you ask me to go and do this, that, or the other. I don't care if you ask me to go to this place or the other place. I don't care. Whatever it takes, I want more of the Holy Spirit. And I want to be a place that the Holy Spirit wants to be at more. It's this two-way dynamic. It's always a two-way dynamic in the kingdom. It's always us and him and us and him. And there's this I just... As a leader in this church, Holy Spirit, I ask you would hear these words from the heart. We want you. We want you more than anything else. We want you. We want you to see us, feel welcome with us, and be safe with us. Holy Spirit, in this place, when we are gathered, in other places when we are gathered, in families where we are gathered, in workplaces where we have more than one of us there who knows you. God, right now, we want you to hear the words from our heart to say you are welcome there. And we choose to sack off some stuff. We choose to kill some stuff. We choose to remove a fear of man and a reputation loss. John and Carol always say that people used to say to them, wow, are you afraid you're going to lose your reputation when revival hit? Do you know when revival hit in Toronto in 1994, January the 20th, and went on? It's still going on, but there was an intensity of the Holy Spirit that caused 90% of the people in the room to hit the deck. It was so powerful and so heavy. I'm like, God, yes, please. But people said to John and Carol, are you afraid you're going to lose your reputation? They went, nah, wasn't that important anyway. Didn't have much of one anyway. What are you willing to sacrifice? And you may not have to sacrifice it, but what are you willing to sacrifice? Are you willing to sacrifice your reputation? Are you willing to sacrifice your time? Are you willing to sacrifice your job? Are you willing to sacrifice your house? Are you willing to sacrifice your money? Whatever it is, God may do an Isaac on you. Abraham and Isaac, you know, where Abraham went up And he didn't have to sacrifice Isaac, but he needed to know that Abraham would. What are you willing to sacrifice, even if God never holds you to it? Because as for me and my house, as for me and this house, we'll sacrifice anything for him. It has to be him. But we will sacrifice anything for him. He is the Lord of this church. And he's in charge. And I just feel it. I don't want to prescribe what you do right now. I just know you need to let him know, just like at the end of worship, that you're willing to sacrifice. And some of you may feel afraid of sacrifice. God's bound to ask me to sacrifice this. And I don't want to let go of this. I want to encourage you that if it's God, you are always in the safest place. And I'm just feeling right now there's some fear of the sacrifice. And I want to tell you that Chloe and I have sacrificed a lot before you. And so we're not leaders who are asking you to go where we never went. Like, we sold businesses, we got rid of everything, and we were on a really good earthly and human pathway to being very rich. And we sacrificed the whole thing to move down to London because God asked us to. What are you willing to sacrifice? What are you willing to let go of? And God promised me, I believe God promised me that there was going to be a response inside every person who was willing to step into this. Every person that was willing to say yes. Every person that was willing to say, you God, you first, you alone. I will chase you. I will follow you. I will be with you. I choose you. And for every person right now, it's going to be like probably the weirdest ending of a church service ever. We're not going to get music on. We're just going to leave it for you to respond the way you want to respond, the way God is calling you to respond. If you don't know how to respond, but you know God's calling you to respond, then it may look like something like releasing control to him, releasing decision-making to him, releasing your rights to him. It may look like standing up and laying down. It may look like standing up and kneeling. It may look like standing up and standing up. It may look like going home. It may look like being here for another 30 minutes. I'm going to ask you, if you're able, just to stand. I'm going to pray. And then we are going to leave this as a quiet room so that people can do business with God in the way that you believe God is calling you to. If you're not sure, but you know you need to respond, but you're not sure how, I'm going to ask the ministry team to come up now over here. And if you're not sure, then come and talk to the ministry team. They're not going to pray for you. They're just going to help you find your response to the challenge that has been laid before you tonight. What are you willing to sacrifice? And are you going to say yes to him tonight? Yes. Holy Spirit. Yes. Holy Spirit. Everyone has a different response. Everyone has a different response. But he's asking for your yes, whether it looks with your body, with your tongue, I don't care. I don't really mind. But if you're not sure, come and see the ministry team. Other than that, Holy Spirit, would you come right now and would you rise up inside every willing heart? Would you take possession of your temple, Holy Spirit, the body and lives of every willing believer? And right now, I ask, Holy Spirit, that you would speak really clearly to every believer in the room, that you would release truth to every believer in the room, that you would give them an instruction right now. Holy Spirit, I need you, if you're in the room and you don't know what to do right now, then I need you to ask the Holy Spirit, Holy Spirit, what is it? What does my response look like? What does my response look like? It may be that you're going to be resigning your job. Don't do that without pastoral guidance. It may be that you're going to be giving money to someone. It may be that you just need to be on your knees. It may be that you're going to go into a time of fasting. It may be that you're going to be in a time of prayer. It may be that you're going to change some stuff. You're going to stop going to the movies and you're going to start going to a prayer house. It may be that you are being asked to step up and stand up in your workplace. There is a moment in the room right now. Holy Spirit, would you guide your children? And when you're ready, feel free to just go home. That's fine too. This is a grace house. But if you're not sure, come to the front and speak to the ministry team. But I implore you on Christ's behalf, right now, respond to your Savior. For some of you, what he's asking you to give up is a specific thing, but for many of you, it's going to be a general thing. The Father say he wants it all. He wants it all. I just encourage you, don't feel awkward because of the quiet. Embrace the quiet. Just do whatever it is Holy Spirit's asking you to do. It may be internal. It may be external. It may be an action. It may be a word. I really don't mind people shouting out. I don't mind you singing. I don't mind you dancing. I don't actually care what it looks or sounds like. The challenge and the cry from the heart of God tonight is, do you want it? Do you want it? Do you want it? Do you want it? If you've got questions, come and ask the ministry team. If you're not sure, come and ask the ministry team. If you feel unable to sacrifice, unable to lay it down, then come and be prayed for by the ministry team. If you've got anything other than you know what you're doing and you know how to do it, then come and see the ministry team. But I want to release you to be hungry right now. And in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, I release an impartation of the desperation that I have been feeling this week for the more of Him, for the desperation, for absolutely nothing matters other than Him, for the ability and the courage to lay stuff down. I release an impartation of boldness to every willing heart right now. Boldness to say, you, God. Boldness to say, only you, God. Boldness to say, you first, Jesus. You first, Jesus. Holy Spirit, would you see me as welcoming to your presence? I release an impartation right now of the courage to lay stuff down and to sacrifice. Chloe and I have done that. As I said, we have sacrificed when God has asked us to. We have given away. We have done things that are humanly stupid to do. But in heaven's economy, obedience is always the best path. And if God's calling you to do something big with your life, I'll encourage you again. I need you to hear the words. I need you to seek pastoral guidance before you make big decisions that affect your life, other than spiritual decisions that affect your internal life. You can make them without pastoral guidance. Spiritual decisions are easy to make without pastoral guidance. But if it affects your family, affects your employment, or affects your finances, then please ask God and then ask a pastor. If you're new to us, then don't leave without saying hello to someone in the team. We would love to meet you. We'd love to see how we can partner with you as you chase hard after Jesus in your own context. We have lots of different ministries here which are all designed to help people chase hard after Jesus and become more and more welcoming to the Holy Spirit. And so that's why we all come together. That's why we're here. That's why this church exists, is to prepare the bride.